Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is Danny Cunningham of Locked On Cavs. You can read him on his Substack, Inside the Shot. It's Danny Cunningham. How you doing, Danny?
I'm well, man. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I guess, look at the Cavs in a 15-game win streak. I should be doing better. But, Danny, I have my own concerns when I look at this team and everything they've gone through. We'll talk about those. Can we start, though? Fun or over the line filling your teammate's car with popcorn?
I think it's fun. I think it's a way to, you know, keep things light. And, you know, this isn't as if, you know, I am filling up your car with popcorn on the salary that you currently make.
Right.
Like, Jalen Tyson makes a lot of money and he has a nice car and he has the ability to pay somebody to clean his car and it's not a big deal. Whereas if, like, you know, I did this to you or you did this to me, it would be a much more difficult thing to maybe deal with financially. So I do think that's one of the things we have to remember. I think it's a good way to, you know, kind of lighten the mood a little bit over the course of what is a very serious season that has, I think, a pretty heavy championship burden on the team with the expectations because of how good they are. I think that this is a way to keep things light and just keep this group having fun.
Now, is popcorn the perfect thing to fill somebody's car with, or could you think of something better, more fun to do it with? Obviously, stick it in the lighthearted, fun friend conversation where you're not completely ruining a friendship or ruining a relationship between teammates.
Right, so I do think popcorn is good because it's so lightweight, right? Like, I instantly think of, you know, Skittles. I think that'd be a really good thing, but they're so small, and you would need so many of them, where popcorn's, like, kind of the perfect size for it. I can't think of anything better. I do think it's a really good thing, and truthfully, like, is it the easiest thing to clean? No, but I can think of some things that might be a little bit more difficult to get out of a car, especially when it's completely filled than that. So I do think it's a pretty good option.
Yeah, the only other thing I could think of is packing peanuts. But if you're trying to send a little bit of a message, because
Less fun though. That's
yeah,
less fun.
Right. I mean, Jalen, you missed the donuts, right? You gotta do something a little bit more. A little bit more painstaking to have to go clean up and then actually go through and have the challenge. So I like the popcorn. What I didn't necessarily like, though, was the first 2.5 quarters of play against the Nets last night. They've gone through some challenges the Cavs had against some bad teams recently, but you also balance the fact that they're on a 15-game win streak. How should fans go about balancing the two in their own head of loving the Cavs' results, but maybe not necessarily loving the product to get to those results?
I think that you should probably take a deep breath with, you know, the fact that I think they deserve a little bit of grace, I guess would be the best way to say it, for having some slow starts. And I do think that this would be a more concerning thing. And I understand, you know, people are going to be concerned when the team doesn't play perfect. And I get that, especially when you look at the fact that the Cavs are not the only great team in basketball this year. Like, if they were the only great team, say they were what the Celtics were last year, and they were very clearly a level ahead of everybody else. Okay, maybe you feel different, but there's two other teams in Boston and OKC this year that are on the same level that the Cavs are. But I think that this would be a bigger deal if in their big games against other good teams, they had these really bad first halves, right? And I know that they got off to a brutal start against Boston a couple of weeks ago, but that was like 4 minutes of bad basketball. And then they beat the Celtics by 30 in the remaining like 43 and a half minutes or whatever it was. Like, they dominated that game. They just had a bad 5 minutes to start. You look at the game against Milwaukee, which is the only other game recently they've played against a good team. What happened? They came out and they played well right away. They were up by at least 10 points at halftime. They looked like the Cavs, despite the fact that maybe they didn't shoot the basketball as well as we probably could have expected with the quality of looks that they were generating. But I just think overall, when teams as good as the Cavs are playing teams that don't necessarily have the same level of talent, and the Cavs, truthfully, don't have a ton to play for right now. They're going to be the one seed. I would be surprised if they're not the number one overall seed. Like, it's just there's not a ton of motivation to get up for these games on a Tuesday night against a team that's going nowhere. So I do kind of think that's part of it. And the fact that they're able to turn it on and find a way to win, like, I do think that's the sign of a great team. Like, they can find ways to win when they're not playing their best. They can find ways to win multiple different ways. And you need to be able to do that when the postseason arrives.
Hey, you talk about the sort of being able to battle back. They're getting wins, and in large part because their fourth quarters have been incredible, really all year long.
Right.
I guess the more and more that you go through, do you think that constantly battling back is something that can wear on you mentally? Or does it sort of play the other side where it gives you that ultimate confidence to say, okay, at any point during these games, we're not out of it, and that's something I can play in your favor come playoff time?
I think it's a we're not out of it thing. And I think that the other benefit here too is when a team is 55-10, the way the Cavs are, you don't typically get there by winning a ton of close games. I think the Cavs have only played like 7 games that have been within 3 points this year. I mean, they have more wins by 10 points or more than the vast majority of the NBA has total wins. I think they've won 37 of their 55 games by 10 or more points. It might even be a little bit higher number. I'm not sure, but I know it's in that ballpark. Like, so when you do have that, maybe you don't necessarily have as much experience in these close games and having to close out fourth quarters as you would potentially like to have. So that is the one thing to keep in mind here too. Yes, it's not coming against the best opponents, but don't discount the fact that Darius Garland needed to have a huge fourth quarter last night for the Cavs to find a way to win, because there's going to be a time in the postseason, whether it's against Milwaukee or Indiana or Boston or Oklahoma City or Denver, that Darius Garland's going to need to have a really big fourth quarter to help the Cavs win. Or Donovan Mitchell, the way he did against Boston, going to need to have a really big second half to get the Cavs a postseason win. And those are the things that you look to take away from the end of this regular season, is how do the Cavs close out games, even if they don't necessarily play their best basketball for 48 minutes.
Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs podcast with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Danny, you bring up Darius Garland. Let's put aside the fourth quarter from yesterday for just a second. We'll get back to that. Darius has obviously been struggling outside of last night's game, and even within last night's game outside that fourth quarter. To you, is that something that's been more mental, or we know he was battling the hip injury, and that's where some of the struggles started, and it might be something more physical?
I think it's a more physical thing. I think mentally he seems to be in a pretty good space mentally right now, certainly compared to where he was at this time last year. I think Darius Garland is a different person in some respects, and I think all of that's for the better for him and for the Cavs organizationally. I do think that there are some physical things going on. And listen, you're going to get the stock answer whenever you bring it up. Like, nobody in the NBA is 100% right now that plays big minutes. And Darius Garland doesn't even play huge minutes because, as I mentioned, the Cavs destroy so many teams. But I think that there is something going on with him physically right now. And I think it's affecting the way that he shoots the basketball, because and the fourth quarter last night was remarkable. Like, maybe that is the turning point. Maybe he looks really good on Friday in Memphis. I think that having 2 days off will be a really good thing for him and for the rest of the Cavs, because they've not had a ton of rest lately. But one of the things that I look at as kind of a barometer for his success is how well is he in that kind of in-between game, right? Like, Darius's floater has been pretty deadly, I think, throughout this year. Like, he is just absolutely dominated with that shot. I think he's making around 60% of them for the season. Well, in the last 6 games that he's played, so that's after that 2-game absence following the Knicks game, the 6 until last night, he was shooting 28% on like the floater range shot. And then last night he made a couple of big ones in the fourth quarter. He had that and one. He had another one, like it looks back, but that's the area where he's not been able to get going. And once that comes back, I think you'll feel much better. And the 3-point shot has not been very good for him lately either. I do think that some rest will do him well. Having a couple days off, I think, will do him well. And, you know, maybe he can build off that fourth quarter from last night on Friday, and then we just see Darius Garland get back to being Darius Garland.
And you mentioned it being physical. Is that something that, and you sort of touched on it, but is that something that mentally you could say having a fourth quarter like that could sort of break a slump, put you in the right headspace? Is that something that even you think physically, just proving that your body can go out and do it when you haven't been able to do it for a stretch of time, can almost do that same way physically for you?
Yeah, I mean, that never hurts, right? And athletes, I do think it's a fair thing to say. And Darius's injury was not some major thing. Like, that needs to be mentioned here, too. It's not as if this was a big deal of an injury. It's a minor thing. But I do think that when athletes miss time, and we see this more frequently talked about with major injuries, but when guys return, they sort of have to learn to trust their body again. Like, that is something when Max Strus missed, I think, the first 8 weeks of the season, right around there, he kind of had to trust his ankle again because he sprained it really badly, missed a ton of time. And, you know, doing something at that high of a level, you have to learn to trust your body again. And I do wonder if that's something Darius is going through, or maybe none of this matters and he's just having a shooting slump. That is something that's really possible too. And if that's the case, I really like the chances of the big fourth quarter he had on Tuesday night being able to break him out of that.
And Danny Cunningham, again, with us on the hotline. Danny, I know that it's not an easy prediction, and the NBA regular season can be completely wild. But if you had to take your best stab at it, the Cavs' win streak ends either against an opponent like last night in the Nets, where they just kind of fall asleep and you don't get that fourth quarter and they just roll over, or against a really good opponent in a close game.
I think probably a not great opponent, because you look at they play Memphis on Friday, and Memphis is good. I don't think Memphis is great. They have not been playing very good basketball lately. Like, since the Cavs game, I think that the last time these two teams met a couple weeks ago, Memphis is below 500, and the wins they've had have come against bad teams. Like, they beat New Orleans, who's not very good, by 3 points the other night. I know they're in action tonight. Like, they haven't been very impressive since, and they don't have Jaren Jackson Jr. So they're a team with a good record, but their current state of them, I don't view them as like, oh, that's a really good team. So then you move on. Okay, they've got Orlando on Sunday. Orlando's not a good team. And then they go out west. They see the Clippers, not a good team. They see the Kings, very, I think, average. And the Clippers are an average team. I shouldn't say not a good team, but they're an average team. Like, the Cavs don't have another game against an awesome team until when? Like, it's a really long time if you look, because this West Coast trip that's coming up, it's the Clippers, it's Sacramento, it's Utah, Portland, Phoenix. Like, none of those teams are very good. So I do think that it's more likely they're going to have an off night, which we've seen several of lately. They're going to have an off night, and they're not going to be able to find that fourth quarter magic and come back and win. I think that's how this streak will eventually end. I don't know when that's going to be, but I don't see there's not a team that they play the rest of the season that is in the same league as them. So that tells me automatically it's going to come to a lesser team.
We talk about sort of just the level of teams right now. Is there anybody in the East specifically that you look at in a playoff series that gives you legitimate trouble outside of the obvious in the Celtics?
No, I don't think so. I think every other team in the East is very flawed. You look at who they could play in the first round, you know, look at the play-in picture right now. It's Orlando, Miami, Atlanta. I mean, Chicago is going to be in the play-in, and they might lose 50 games this year. They're terrible. Do any of those teams, is there anything that you have seen from the Cavs that says, you know what, they might have trouble against one of those teams? No, they should all be really short series. Then you look at who they could play in the second round. It's Milwaukee. It's Indiana. It's Detroit. Detroit's a great story. I don't think they're going to have a ton of postseason success. Indiana has kind of been there before. I really just don't think that they have the ability to outscore the Cavs in a postseason series. Milwaukee, I don't think they can defend the Cavs well enough in a postseason series. Even if, by some crazy thing, the New York Knicks dropped down and the Cavs saw them in the second round, I don't see how the Knicks could beat the Cavs in a postseason series. Like, if the Cavs are healthy, it is really, really difficult for me to say they're not going to be in the conference finals. If they don't make the conference finals as a healthy postseason team, something went terribly, terribly wrong, because the Cavs and the Celtics, and then there is a canyon-sized gap between the rest of the East right now.
Danny, I'll get you out of here with this. If you have to pick one person on this team right now, coach, player, who has the most pressure on them heading into the playoffs for this team to be successful and at least make it to that mark of the Eastern Conference Finals?
It's probably Donovan Mitchell, because he's the guy that has, you know, been around in the postseason for a while. Like, he's been in the playoffs, I think, every year of his career, and he's never made a conference final. So it's probably, because you look at Darius Garland, yes, been in the playoffs twice, maybe hasn't had the success he would like. Evan Mobley, in the postseason every year of his career, hasn't had the success that he would like. But Donovan's been around for a while now. And Donovan, I think, really does care about winning more than anything. I think that's why he was eager to stay in Cleveland this past summer with a contract extension. I think that winning is something that very, very much matters to him. So, and listen, he has proven that despite the fact that his teams haven't necessarily made it as far as they possibly could have in the postseason in previous years, both here in Cleveland and when he was previously in Utah with the Jazz. But Donovan has stepped up in these moments. And I do think that he is somebody that needs to start getting further in the postseason. He needs to get to the conference finals. He needs to be able to lead a team to the NBA finals. All of those things are possible for him this year. And that's why, for me, he's the one that the pressure's on. Because Evan Mobley's in his, what, fourth year? Darius Garland is still a younger guy. Like, those guys don't have the pressure because the playoff failures haven't built up yet. Like, they lost in the first round as a team that overachieved. They lost in a series they were completely outclassed in last year against Boston. They've never been in the position where they should be seen as the favorites. Donovan has, and has come up short. So I do think that is something that just brings a little bit extra pressure for him.
Well, Danny, always good to talk to you. I hope we get to talk again soon. Cavs are on a good run. Means we should be able to, and I look forward to that.
I'll be around, man.
All right. And that, again, Danny Cunningham, always good stuff. Make sure you check him out. Locked On Cavs podcast. You can hear him here on the station every once in a while as well. I get the Substack name right, The Inside Shot. I don't know if I got that right earlier or not, but I did this time. Danny, good stuff out of you as always. Look forward to talking again. As I said, when we come on back, we'll react to what Danny had to say. As well, which Cav does have the most pressure on him? Is it Donovan, like Danny alludes to? Which is, Donovan's the guy. Not only is he the leader of your team, not only is it just very clear to point to, I think, your star player and say, yeah, he's got the most pressure on him. He's the person trying to will you into the playoffs, into the spot in the playoffs you want to go, and eventually to an NBA Finals and a championship. He's also just never been there, and he's never had a team as good as this. And a lot of people, especially when he came to Cleveland, when you sort of re-upped on his contract and got him an extension here, it was, well, Donovan Mitchell's very good, but Donovan Mitchell is no superstar. The people in Cleveland would disagree, right? I think that Donovan is a superstar, and he carries a lot of pressure with him in trying to prove that. And that is, I think, the biggest thing for him is, I'm the leader of the team. I'm the superstar that it counts here, and I need to get this team at least to an Eastern Conference Finals. Hopefully beyond that, in pushing it through where, okay, yes, Darius has some things to prove. It's not going to be smooth sailing from Cavs fans on Darius. I think you could put a lot of pressure underratedly on Jared Allen as well, given what's happened the last 2 years. Right? It seems like times are always good with Jared until you get to the playoffs. And then it's, okay, the lights are too bright. Fans were very mad about that. You loved him for the majority last year. And then all of a sudden, it was a flip-flop. He hurt his ribs, and people were calling him soft. And they thought that he should have been completely invested in playing. Obviously didn't end up being the case. Again, I think it reaches to Donovan first, but I think you can make an argument probably for almost anybody in the core four. Certainly Darius Garland. I think certainly for Jared Allen. Those are just guys that I look at and say, you got to step up. The Cavs have a tremendous amount of pressure on them in general heading into this playoffs. And you do have to be the the team here to take a massive step forward to prove that it's not just the regular season, but you can get it done in the playoffs. I just think it starts with Donovan and it ends up being a trickle-down effect. 216-474-0092. Which Cavalier do you feel like has the most pressure on them heading into the playoffs? Let's go out to the phones. Trevor is in Medina. What's going on, Trevor?
Hey, what's happening, Jake? Having tonight, man?
I'm doing good. What do you got, man? Trevor, you there? I will put Trevor back on hold. He was there. He was there talking, and then he wasn't. We'll figure out what happened. I was right there with him. I heard a click, and then Trevor stopped talking.
He just lost his train of thought.
Yeah, he was how's it going,
spaced
man?
Spaced out there for a moment.
He asked a question. It was a full question. He was like, I'm good, Trevor. How are you? And then Trevor was, well, I don't know how good I am.
Hey, why'd you call?
Yeah, I went, Now, we'll figure out what's going on with Trevor. We'll get him back. In the meantime, BP is in Pepper Pike. BP, and BP's gone. Wow, we're just on a tear right now. Todd's in Ward 1. Todd, are you here with us?
No, this is all in your imagination.
Todd, which Cav do you feel like has the most pressure on them heading into the playoffs?
The greatness of the Cleveland Cavaliers is they're so balanced, there is no one person that has more pressure than the other. They're just that well-balanced. And truthfully, they proved it in their last game with their bench. Even though they had to come back, they proved it. That's a very balanced team, man. That may be the best balanced team I've seen in at least the last 5 years. I'm not saying they're the greatest team I've seen in the last 5 years, but they're balanced. I would like to hear you make an argument other than it just being an argument, an argument based on facts, that any one person does have more pressure on them than the other.
Yeah, I mean, I think Donovan's career, in a way, even his time in Utah, just having good teams, having teams that were the one seed in Utah and then never getting there, it puts a little bit of added pressure on him. And Darius and Evan are sort of, they're the younger guys in the group. They have more time to prove it, where I think Donovan's, he's in his prime now. And his prime is closer to ending than it is to starting. I think that's the only reason I really would put Donovan ahead of anybody else. But I agree, like if I go Darius, Jared Allen, maybe even Evan Mobley, like those guys you could probably group in as being very similar in terms of pressure.
Well, you're describing pressure based on pressure to himself as far as Donovan goes, but as far as pressure to perform based on his ability to perform and then that ability to perform transfers into success for the team, I don't believe he has any more pressure than anybody else on the team. I really like that about the Cavs. They are a very balanced working class type team that really works as a team together. One starter is really no more greater than the other, but they're all needed and they all work in unison really relatively well to one another. But the story of the day for me is Malik Collins. They finally got another lineman, but they need to get somebody on the other side of the line. But that's another story. Go back to your topic on the Cavs. All right.
We'll get back there, Todd. I appreciate the call. We'll get over to not necessarily Malik Collins, but the Cavs, Browns free agency at some point. But, yeah, I think there's an argument to be made about the balance of this team and playing the way that it is. But ultimately, I still think that Donovan has a little bit extra pressure to even perform and to step up in the games. I still think you rely on Donovan when the pressure comes, when the big moments, you sort of go, hey, Donovan, I need you to be the guy in these moments. And you'll turn to Darius at times, you'll turn to Evan at times, but the overarching theme there is you kind of got to get Donovan to lead you there. Okay, let's try a recycle through here. Things did not go well earlier. Let's go Trevor's in Medina. Trevor, are we back?
We're back. Okay. Are you back?
I'm back. Right. We're good.
I'm going to start this off with a shout-out to Danny. I drive a lot. I love the Locked On podcast. I gave you a plug. You can't be mad at me now.
There you go.
I think it's off base. I think it's Evan Mobley, unquestionable. If we're talking about the playoffs, Donovan, no, he's never had the success as a team. But individually, he has put up monster numbers. The last two postseasons, the biggest complaint has been physicality. And Evan's taken such a leap forward this year that if he goes in and he fizzles out or he doesn't perform, I just think he is the key to everything. And if he doesn't perform, I think it's on him, man.
Yeah, and Trevor, I appreciate the call. And you can call anytime. Listen, if you're driving, we're always here, okay? 7 to 11. Hey, if you want to talk Cavs after the games, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for people to call especially, so I appreciate it. I could see that, honestly, from that aspect of it just being sort of the X factor, the difference, in a way of, you know, Donovan's going to show up most nights. You know, Darius, to a degree, is going to show up. But Evan needing to be physical, Evan having expanded his game in the regular season and translating that to the big moments, I could definitely see where you think pressure would build there from a personal standpoint of, hey, the team kind of goes not as far as you go, but the team hits a different level when you put it on. When you're the guy making the difference, the team has an additional step to them, and it really does come down to what does Evan do. And he's been so good this year at being consistent, finding himself near 20 points, finding himself near double-digit rebounds, staying strong on the defensive end, and you're going to need that when the game gets more physical, when you get to the playoff side of things too. All right, let's complete the retrek through. BP's in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good. Good interview with Danny Cunningham.
Appreciate that.
You won't be able to get a hold of him on March 17th, that's for sure.
No, certainly not. That is not a guy you want to talk to on that day. I mean, maybe exactly. It is, but not on the air, that's for sure.
Yeah, not regarding anything important.
Yeah, no.
But good interview. I like the question about the pressure, but I mean, definitely, most pressure's on Donovan Mitchell because, like you said and he said, he's the most seasoned Cav here with the playoffs, you know, besides Tristan Thompson. He's got something to prove. Like you guys said, he has never been to a conference finals. This is his chance. This is why you fight all year to get that number one seed. They've got a nice path to the number one, you know, to the first, to make it to the Eastern Conference finals and have home court advantage. It looks like they're going to lock up home court advantage. You know, they're up 8 games on the Celtics with, you know, 17 games to go. So it looks good. I'm hoping, you know, again, like Oklahoma City loses tonight and then we could go up 3 games on them, you know, you know, home court for the entire playoffs, for the NBA Finals, because that's something to keep your eye on as well. But as far as, like, the Cavs, I think their potential next loss could be Friday night at Memphis. I looked at the rest of the schedule. That's, like, the most contentious, toughest arena, toughest team yet to play. And like you guys also mentioned, Jaren Jackson, they're, you know, one of their top players, him and John Morant. Jaren Jackson is not playing Friday night. And there's one of their other top players, Santi Aldama, is also doubtful for that game. So it's possible the Cavs could even win that game. And I'm really hoping they win. So then they'll have 16 wins in a row. That'll even top what they did, you know, to start off the season. But it's been, when you really think about it, when you look at the Cavs record, 55-10, that is just astonishing. You know, just even see that. You know, it's been an amazing year. And so I'm hoping they can, you know, win a championship. Like I think they've got what it takes, but again, it's gonna be a tough series, probably ultimately with the Celtics, probably like a 6 or 7 game series, most likely a 7 game series.
Yeah, I'm right there. I mean, I think that you're still in that same boat with the Celtics and BP. I appreciate the call. I think we're on the same page, but yeah, in terms of the streak ending, I don't even know that Memphis scares me. I mean, Danny pointed it out, they're not playing good basketball. Like, they are a sub 500 team since the last time they played the Cavs. They're not the most dangerous team in the world. It's going to come to an end at some point. It's probably going to come to an end on the accord of the Cavs, but it'll be interesting to see. Let's slip in one more here before we hit a break. Rome is in Cleveland. What's going on, Rome?
I just wanted to say, like, I kind of agree with you. I think we agree with each other. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell, being the leader of the team, the veteran, the spokesperson, of course he has pressure, but I think just the way that they carried themselves all season, the pressure is just on the team. And for, like, reasons you said, Jared Allen's ribs the 1 year, Garland's play last year. I mean, it's just pressure as a team. LeBron being gone, chance to win a championship.
Yeah,
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would definitely agree, Rome. We're up against it. I got to let you go, but I appreciate the call. I would 100% agree. This is a team that you look at, again, it is just overall pressure because of the way that things have done. But very interestingly, also a team that the pressure's kind of low, right? Nobody expected them to be the one seed. I think they put the pressure on themselves I think they hold themselves to a high standard, and I mean that in a good way, put the pressure on themselves. But in terms of a national media perspective, I would say that Boston's still carrying the pressure in the East. Boston's feeling the pressure way more than the Cavs are. But individually, player to player, and as a team as a whole trying to overcome what they've done the last couple of years, yeah, there's definitely an immense amount of pressure there. All right, 216-474-0092. We can take more of your calls on which Cav you feel has the most pressure heading into the NBA playoffs as well. We'll talk a little bit about Brown's free agency and whether or not you're scared maybe of a lack of a move. Again, 216-474-0092. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here until 11 on the Fed. But Steve is in Rocky River and wanted to talk about the pressure that the Cavs feel that we were talking about last segment. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, good show. Pressure, you know, for the individual players, I don't think we can know because it's just their own feeling, their how they perceive pressure, whether it be from the fans or on their, you know, their performance for each other. But we can watch what they do. And, you know, they're doing so well as a team. They're so far ahead. It would be easy to say that for the rest of the season, they have no reason to feel any pressure at all because they're in. But what they're doing in these letting the other team get ahead and come back, I'm not saying that they're doing that deliberately, but it's as if they're practicing for the playoffs. It's as if they're deliberately putting themselves in a place where they have to up their game over and over. It's a classic thing that you'd have to do that in the playoffs against the Celtics, against the Thunder. So what else are you going to do if you're riding high in the East but practice for the playoffs by learning how to put pressure on the other team over and over? What do you think?
Yeah, Steve, I mean, I like it. And I think to some degree, I don't think they're doing it deliberately. I don't think they're walking into a game and saying, okay, let's get down here so we can practice, you know, coming back or being in late game scenarios where a lot of pressure is on. But I do think that this team probably looks at those moments and I would hope looks at them and utilizes them as, okay, you know what? We're going to be put in these situations. We're going to be put in these spots come playoff time, right? You're going to be down. You're heading into a fourth quarter, especially once you get to the second round of the playoffs, the semifinals in the Eastern Conference finals, the finals if you get there. You're going to be put into spots where you're down entering the fourth quarter. It's going to happen. The Cavs are not so far above, a level above every other team right now. They're in the same pocket as the Celtics and then probably step above the rest of the teams in the East. But you look at them.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
They're going to be put into those spots. You have to use these games, whether it's against the Nets or whether or not it's against the Hornets. Or heck, I mean, if you're down 25-3 against the Celtics, even showing yourself you can battle back in that game, you should be using that as, okay, we're just never down. We're never out of it. We always have this chance. And so I think definitely a good point by you, Steve. Again, 216-474-0092. I want to get into the Browns and sort of where they are because it feels like scouring social media, as I do far too often, it feels like there was a little bit of panic, a little bit of concern. That's definitely waned since day one, but not for an incredible reason. With Browns fans just not entirely confident in the team in their lack of decision to make moves. Right? You see teams like the Bears, consistently through trade, through free agency, building, solidifying their line. You've seen their name pop up several times. You see a team like the Patriots, same exact thing, consistently going out and getting guys like Robert Spillane and a couple more defensive guys. They went and signed the name of the offense, James Hudson, the former Brown. They went and got him as a swing tackle for protection for Drake May. I think that is something where fans look at and they go, oh, look at us. We're getting better. But it was then the Browns sort of being the opposite. You really haven't made a ton of signings. You've gone and you traded for Kenny Pickett. You've signed a couple of guys, right? You got Devin Bush back here. You got, what, Joe Tryon Shoyanka, however you say his name, which is sort of a stab, a shot in the dark. And then today you get Malik Collins, a defensive tackle. Sure, they're moves, but it's not any move that's really swinging anybody in any direction, right? You picked up a couple of defensive guys and you traded for a quarterback. It's just, they're the role pieces, which I think for the Browns would be the proper spot to be on. It would be right where you want to get to. When you look at this team, if you're going to be concerned about the moves that they make, they're sort of doing the thing that you want them to. I don't think you should be concerned about this team at all. We've heard for weeks and for months, and I think Albert Breer talked about this yesterday on Afternoon Drive, just the fact that we've been saying this is a free agent class. We've heard it over and over again. This free agent class just isn't great. So why are you going to go and stick a bunch of money on the line to go get guys who you don't necessarily love? Right, you release Dalvin Tomlinson, you replace the money with Malik Collins, a guy who then you're going to owe significantly less money in the long term than you are Dalvin. Makes sense. Like Dalvin was not playing up to his contract the last couple of years, and you can get somebody for a lot less. I think you needed another edge rusher. The Browns went out and got that, at least a guy in the third, fourth line that subs in, and we know they like to go through a rotation there as well. Okay, I'm perfectly fine with that. I just don't know where they're heading, and there's so many questions left unanswered. Now, one of those spots that I would probably say is one of those is a linebacker, right? They went out and they got Devin Bush back, but you really haven't seen them attack that position outside of it, right? Shoyanka is sort of they consider him an outside linebacker, but he's really an edge. He'll probably play D-end in the Brown system. Zach Jackson was on with the morning show yesterday and talked about just that fear and what the Browns are really doing in free agency. And honestly, might have even thrown you a positive that Browns fans have been asking for. Here we go.
They're going to keep adding some guys. You know, they added the backup tackle, who's just a lot older version of James Hudson, who got more money than I would have expected, by the way. They need a starting defensive tackle, so that will be coming in some form or fashion. And then I would take, if you want a positive, I would say that they didn't go spend on a linebacker. They must think JOK is going to play. There are going to be some additions over the next few days of veteran guys who are temporary starters or backup slash depth pieces.
And again, you begin to see that. Like, that was before they had signed Devin Bush, Malik Collins, Shoyanka. Like, it was before they had signed those three, and they had just gotten Cornelius Lucas, the swing tackle that Zach was referring to. Again, I think that you've seen the Browns attack free agency in the way that we expected them to attack free agency. Okay, you have some holes to fill, but you don't have massive holes to fill on this team. It's not other than quarterback. Quarterback, obviously, running back, but you're going to get that in the draft. There wasn't really a wide receiver market in free agency outside of like trading for DK Metcalf. You really haven't had a ton. Cooper Kupp is the one, the name that's sort of left on the board now, but I don't think the Browns are really dishing out a ton of money to go get Cooper Kupp. I don't think that's really in the cards. But you've seen them kind of do what you expect them to do. Solidify the defense with a couple of guys to short contracts who are going to step in and play a key role and are going to get some time and are hopefully going to produce. And you see Andrew Berry target those kind of guys all the time. And then sort of just where you're at right now. I think, again, you should probably feel pretty good and definitely not scared about this Browns free agency period, other than maybe quarterback. Quarterback, you might be a little afraid, and I wouldn't judge you. Real quick, in about 30 seconds before we hit the break here, Alex is in Cleveland Heights. Alex, you want to comment on the Cavs? What's going on?
Hey, just wanted to talk about the pressure on the Cavs. I think there's only one player on this team that has any pressure, and that's Tristan Thompson. If he can win a ring without LeBron, I think that's the only thing holding back his legacy, is if he can do it on his own.
Thanks for the call, Alex. Tristan Thompson's legacy. Can he win a ring? Did you imagine we start this out and it's Tristan Thompson playing the three? It's the discussion of, is it going to be Max Strus? Is it going to be DeAndre Hunter? They're like, you know what? Just throw the backup five out there. Tristan deserves the playoff start.
Win one for Chloe.
Jeez. I don't think, I don't know.
Another one.
Yeah, another one for Chloe. I don't know. Is that still, you still going out there and doing that? Is that still a couple? Do we know? I'm not in celebrity couple world. Boom. Do you know if they're together?
I'm sure they're in communication, at least because of their shared child.
Yeah, I would think that. I would doubt that they're, you know, holding hands, skipping down the driveway or anything, though. Listen, you throw out Tristan, you throw out a Kardashian, it feels like a more likely scenario, they're probably not together. It's funny, though. That's a good one from Alex. All right, coming up in about 5 minutes. As we always do at 9 o'clock, it's Get a Grip. We also got to get to Lance Reisling coming up in about 25 minutes. Cleveland.com. We'll talk to him about your Browns. Loaded back half of the show. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.